Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Monday, here we go. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, exactly where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, I'm going to hand out my NBA regular season awards. They're a little offbeat. They go a little contrarian to the usual NBA awards. Some good, some bad, some ugly. I'll be handing those out. Joy Taylor's obviously with me here on Monday. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And I'm only going to speak for guys. If you want to motivate a guy, call him out, doubt him, poke him in the ribs, tell him there's things he can't do. That's a way to motivate a guy. I'm going to only speak for guys since I'm a guy. I'm going to double down on this. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win their division next year and are going to have a great year. It's going to be the rebound year. Because over the weekend, Antonio Brown used to be a Steeler, went out again taking shots at the Steelers. Took shots at the receiver that won the MVP award that apparently freaked AB out, Juju Smith-Schuster. And Antonio Brown called him, you know, names, and then Juju Smith-Schuster came back and said, don't get your emotion on the internet. And Antonio Brown said, emotion? Boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everybody went blind and busy making guys famous. Not enough reality these days. By the way, check the list. It was a whizzing match between, you know, a Hall of Fame level guy, Antonio Brown, and a very good young receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster for the Steelers. And what it heightened was this. The Steelers got rid of the right guy. Anytime you have a divorce, the bitter person in the divorce that can't get over it, they always eventually unravel. They just unravel. The person that gets over it first. By the way, Big Ben this week, did you hear what he's going to do? He announced he's going to quit doing his Monday radio show in Pittsburgh after games. I predicted when all this stuff happened, all these guys taking shots at Big Ben. I said, it's going to motivate him. Steelers getting ripped. It's going to motivate him. Le'Veon Bell taking shots. They won't let me be a human, not just a football player. Antonio Brown, it's all Big Ben, and they're still yapping, and the Steelers' Big Ben says, you know what, I'm not going to do that radio show. I'm going to focus really this year on football and Mike Tomlin saying all the right things. Let me double down. All this noise, Steelers had to make choices. They got rid of the right people. I mean, you're in a new relationship, AB. You got a new team and a new contract and all that money. It's disrespectful to go after the Steelers. Concentrate on your own team, your own teammates. Well, what message are you sending to the Raiders? You're still all caught up in your emotions with Pittsburgh. And this, to me, feels like Big Ben is laughing this morning, going, told you he was crazy. Told you he's ridiculous. Told you the money changed him. Never forget, former Steeler Ryan Clark. Remember what he said about Antonio Brown.
I knew already that they were going to offer Antonio. And he's walking past, and I turn to the strength coach, and I say, when you give him money, you're going to create a monster. That day in practice, Antonio and I almost get into a fight because he's saying things to Coach LeBeau. He's screaming at Coach LeBeau, screaming at us defensively, don't touch me, I'm the franchise, this and that. Because he already had that mindset, and now with success, with money, these things come.
They always say about money, it makes you more of what you are. If you're a giving person, you become more philanthropic. If you're a selfish person, money makes you more selfish. It's like alcohol. Alcohol basically makes you more of what you truly are. Money does the same thing. This morning, the Pittsburgh Steelers are all going, we told you. We told you. And the Raiders are going, why is he talking about the Steelers? We're paying him all this money, new team, new offense, new focus. He'll be the man. I'll double down. Steelers win their division. They're going to be motivated by the Browns talking, Antonio talking, Le'Veon talking. And Big Ben cancels his Monday radio show, wants to focus more on football. I don't play fantasy football. If I did, I would go big on Big Ben and big on Juju Smith-Schuster this year. They're going to prove this is how guys operate. You want to get a guy focused, take shots at him, badmouth him, doubt him. Big year for the Steelers coming up and a great weekend for Pittsburgh. They chose the right guy to get out of the building. Let me shift to this. The Athletic is a subscription-based sports section. Bunch of good writers and stuff. You pay a monthly fee and you get The Athletic. Sam Amick works for them. He's an NBA guy. And, you know, they do polls and stuff all the time. Like NBA, I like polls. I like lists and polls. And you can do these anonymously so people can be brutally honest about stuff. You know, that's why you have anonymous sources, because people can be more honest if they don't put their name on stuff. So you do need some anonymous sources. Never forget, that's how Nixon got booted from the White House, got impeached. It was some anonymous sources. Okay, you need some anonymous sources. You don't want all of them, but polls are always great because, you know, players have buddies and friends. They don't want a dog, but a poll will give you an honest response. And almost a third of the league was polled by The Athletic, NBA players. And they were asked a bunch of questions. This is the one that's really interesting because they can be honest now. This won't hurt their money. It won't hurt their locker room. It won't hurt their business. It won't hurt friendships. They can be totally honest about this. Who's the best player of all time? 30% of the guys in the league answered. Now, you would think, you know, Michael, LeBron. I mean, the last 7-8 years, there have been a lot of support among NBA players for LeBron James in that debate. Fans tend to like MJ over LeBron. But players, a lot of players, you know, MJ was selfish, not much of a giver. LeBron's been pretty much a giver. LeBron has a bunch of buddies in the league. He's elevated players. And, the numbers came out. 73% say Jordan's the best ever. LeBron got less than 12%. And Kobe was neck and neck with LeBron. The hell? You got to be kidding me. We've not even talked about LeBron and Kobe the last 10 years. It has been a given. This, once again, is LeBron the chosen one, the king, getting very self-reverential in the last year. I always felt LeBron's brand was a we brand. It's got his guys from high school. It's about elevating others. And in the last year, it's become a me brand. He's gone Hollywood, or at least too much Hollywood. LA Times calendar section. You know, he's coming out. Oh, the city loves him. City's talking about. No, city doesn't love him. Hollywood may. But the city. Staples Arena is not Hollywood. It's on Olympic Boulevard in L.A. It's a long way from Hollywood. So he did an interview LeBron did Friday, and this is kind of the new LeBron. He used to make a point, even though he was great, of elevating others and us and together. And listen to this. Listen to the words he uses now.
For me personally, it's a disappointment for myself because I hold myself to such a high standard. Being in the foxhole, like me being in a uniform, me being on the floor, I know I could command my guys more than that. I know what I can do for the franchise and what I can do for the team. So I'm basically trying to speed up my body to get back on the floor, but also my mind is kind of shot because I just want to be out there for my guys. I know what I bring to the game. I know my commitment to the game. I've never cheated the game, and throughout my career, it's always given back to me. I am guaranteeing my body. I'm guaranteeing my mind will be and always be in championship mindset.
How many I's did we have there? 15, 20? I. Calendar section, my projects, me, I, no Lakers, part of those projects. Like LeBron has moved into Hollywood, and in Hollywood, they just love to have award shows about themselves. Hollywood is so fond of themselves. They love to cheer. They always get it more than the rest of us. They're so much smarter than us. I, me. That doesn't even sound like LeBron 5 years ago. That poll by NBA players. LeBron neck and neck with Kobe? I thought that argument had been won by LeBron. You notice who's gotten way more popular in the last year? Kobe Bryant. What people are telling you, players are telling you is Kobe played, then did his stuff. LeBron's trying to do both at the same time. And this is part of that story last week where Brian Windhorst came out and said, sources told him that Space Jam 2, LeBron was having trouble getting players just to be in a movie and play pretend basketball with him. K Kevin Durant, word is he'd rather play for the Knicks than the Lakers. Kawhi would rather play for the Clippers than LeBron and the Lakers. Paul George would rather live in OKC and play with Westbrook than the Lakers. He's from Los Angeles. Folks, I haven't gone anti-LeBron. I trust my eyes. I trust my sources. That interview Friday, I, me. LeBron was a wee guy. He's a me guy. It's a bad look, and that poll lets you know exactly how all that's landing to players in the league. There's been a tipping point. Best player of all time, LeBron's neck and neck with Kobe. I mean, I thought that thing would, that had been decided, right? We never argued that was, not LeBron was either best or second best. That poll was a referendum. Guys have gotten a little tired of mogul, show, movie, me, I. It's off brand. It's not who he is. I mean, again, Tom Brady's brand's always been family football. Even in his documentary, he was always at home with his family talking football. LeBron's brand was, I'm taking my high school guys, I'm joining my friends, banana boat, us. It's not that way in LA. It's gone heavy I, heavy me. That poll, an indicator of it. Really interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I got picked up at the airport last night. Long story, got in really, really late, couldn't park my car. And the guy that picked me up said, I just had Chris Broussard a couple weeks ago. That is a good man. And I'm like, he certainly is. Let's bring on the good man, Chris Broussard, voice of the NBA on this network. I know that sounds real bougie, like you and I use cars, but sometimes in our schedule, we have to. Okay.
It helps.
So yes. I'm not even going to talk about the Westbrook.
I'm shocked. I got to give you props.
Let's hear it for me, John.
Can we have clapping for me? I'm shocked that you didn't lead with that. I really am.
No,
I know it'll be the lead tomorrow. But
no, but I thought the one that really resonated with me is that the players were asked about the greatest of all time, and LeBron and Kobe now are at the center of that ring equal, and it wasn't like that 2 years ago.
Yeah, I say this. Look, I'm glad, first of all, the players recognize Jordan as the greatest. He is. And I've had LeBron ahead of Kobe forever.
I thought everybody did.
He's second, right? Well, in my experiences, talking to former players over the last several years, surprisingly, the majority of them have always picked Kobe over LeBron to me.
He's a scorer.
That what they love about Kobe and why they have put him over LeBron, this is ex-players who face both, is that they always point to the killer instinct. Like, I get the impression that players didn't want to go against Kobe because they feared him. They knew he was going for the jugular. LeBron, they obviously have great respect for his ability and his skills, but it's not the feeling like he's going to go out there to crush you, to rip out your heart. And I agree Kobe's got more of a killer instinct, but I don't think his killer instinct outweighs the other things LeBron has over him. But again, many ex-players have told me they do think Kobe has it over LeBron. So I'm not that surprised that it's close, but Kobe is gaining. If LeBron has a year next year, this year,
now this sounds crazy.
It could change.
This sounds crazy. Joy just hates this topic. But it's, listen, we all do this. Even psychologists will sit down and said, you know, you're over dramatizing your childhood. Your mom wasn't that terrible to you. She was just, you know, blah blah blah. We all tend to exaggerate and create our own history. I've done it. I've done enough therapy. We do this with sports too. We forget that Michael Jordan missed all sorts of game-winning shots. We just remember he was 6-for-6.
Right.
And then, you know, we make Michael, we forget that from between James Worthy leaving at Carolina and his first NBA titles, there was 8 years where he just shot a lot and didn't win a lot of big games. We forget that. Couldn't beat the Celtics, couldn't beat the Pistons. But if LeBron James next year again struggles and they don't assemble this great team, and for the second year in a row is not a playoff person, there's going to be a lot of people that say, yeah, he did it in the East. He went over to the West, and it was, you know, that's going to happen.
Absolutely right. And I actually feel like, look, I think LeBron's going to come back with a great season next year. I think they make the playoffs for certain. I don't care if they don't add anybody and they got the same exact team. I think he leads them at least to the playoffs. However, if he, let's say, if he's going to miss the playoffs or go out in the first round for the next few years, for his legacy, it would actually be better if next year he's at 23 points, 7 rebounds. You know, you begin to see the decline individually. Then people would just say, oh, he got old. It happens.
He got old.
But if he, next year, if he's still 27, 8 and 8 or 28, 8 and 9 or something like that and can't lead you to victories, that's when people will begin to say, well, he looks like he's just as good. His statistics are just as good, but he can't win. And to your point, they'll say, look, Kobe was in the West his whole career. He had to beat San Antonio just to get to the finals.
No, it will absolutely elevate Kobe Bryant. It will elevate Michael Jordan, who went through the East. He had to go through really good teams in the East. Remember, Michael got to the finals, and none of those teams were ever great. The Suns,
he had to go through Ewing,
Sonics,
and the Pacers,
they weren't Utah. And those teams never won any titles.
Well, Jordan was in the era where it was like one or two stars on the team.
Yeah,
one or two, not really big threes.
So the Athletic, Sam Amick, they did this poll where they polled like 25-30% of the league, and they talked about I got to get this. They talked who you'd start your team with. Now, you're a former guard.
Yes.
And a slot receiver just won the MVP in a Super Bowl. We didn't have him 15 years ago, and they certainly weren't winning MVPs in the Super Bowl. That for a lot of reasons, some analytically, slot receivers, because teams don't want their quarterback doing seven-step drops and getting hit. So get rid of the ball fast. Slot receivers are big. The NBA, when I grew up, was a center league. It is now a guard wing league. Can't hand check.
Right.
So the players were asked, who would you start your franchise around? Not only do they put James Harden in a tie for 10th.
That's shocking.
Which is dumb.
Right.
Not only do they put Steph Curry in 6th, which is just
that's
so
dumb.
It's just disrespectful. They put Anthony Davis 2nd. Now time out. gets hurt
one
regularly.
One playoff series victory.
7 years in the league, not really a leader. Again, gets hurt a lot, doesn't control the ball, and not a great three shooter. Like, am I nuts on this?
No.
Players are massively overvaluing Anthony Davis.
And you see they're overvaluing size in that list. They're clearly overvaluing Davis. He's a great player, but to start your team around, not necessarily. Steph, this is why, this list is why Steph Curry is going to benefit when Kevin Durant leaves this season.
Why?
Because Steph Curry, before KD goes to Golden State, Steph Curry was, he had become the face of the league. LeBron took it back when they won that championship. But for a year and a half, Steph was the face of the league, and it would have been a great rivalry between not only the Warriors and the Cavs, but LeBron and Steph to see who's the face of the NBA. But Steph was on pace. Tim Legler, our former colleague at the old network, and we have great respect for him, he was saying Steph could be a top three player of all time. Now, I think that was a little far, but he was on pace to be a top 10 player of all time. Maybe, dare I even broach this, challenge Magic Johnson for the all-time best point guard of all time.
Much better scorer.
Right, no question, and changed the game, as did Magic to some degree, but when Kevin Durant goes to Golden State, all that changes. And when he leaves, if and when he leaves after this season, Steph Curry is going to show people again how great he is. People, anyone who thinks that the Golden State Warriors are going to fall off if KD leaves has another thing coming. Steph, Klay, and Draymond are going to be motivated. And I think we have been a bit robbed, Colin. We've been robbed. That last season Steph had before KD got there, 30 points a game. Every week it was something crazy he was doing. We've been robbed, and we're going to get it back when KD leaves. So bye, KD, go. Win your title, win your third title, and go to New York with Kyrie, even out the league, and Steph's going to put
amazing.
On a show.
It's amazing. Like, players, you play in the league. You got all these big guys ahead of Steph and Harden. They control games. Harden basically is the offense.
I
like Anthony Davis. I've said this about Anthony Davis. If he joins LeBron, they'll be better. He gives you 24-12. But late in games, who's getting
he'll be playing off LeBron. LeBron will be the driving force, and Anthony will play off him.
All right. Calling right, calling wrong. I will say this. Joy and I have, and we like LeBron. We've been LeBron advocates.
All right.
Is it fair now to say, interview Friday, I, we, me? Are you feeling the same thing?
I said that earlier in the year. I didn't really feel it so much from that interview. I didn't have a problem with the I stuff in it. What I have a problem with is LeBron. And I'm with you guys. I'm a LeBron guy. But stop the open recruiting. Stop it. Recruit on the low. We don't need to hear anymore about how you're going to go out and who's going to join me in the car and who's going to join me in the bus. And no, because there's no upside to that. Number one, what if nobody wants to jump in the car with you? Then it looks like nobody wants to play with you, number one. And number two, when you show up for training camp in late September or October, it's already going to feel like a lost cause. Because this whole summer, all we've been hearing is, who's he going to get? Who? I got to go out and get somebody. I'm going to be recruiting. And so that's number one. Number two, it's not helping your guys. What if you come back with the same exact team or, you know, for the most part, the same core? You have to build these guys up. This is the Anthony Davis thing all over again.
No, you're right. He keeps talking about players to join me. How about the guys you got?
Right. You just are kind of coming out of the Anthony Davis thing and everybody's kind of moved on from that. Don't do it again. You should be saying, look, we like everybody else, if you don't win the championship, you got to improve. So we're going to be trying to go out and get guys. But I like what we have. Brandon Ingram showed improvement. Kuzma, we know what he can do. Lonzo is a great defender. Like, build them up, and it could be total BS. And on the low, you're making calls. You got all these guys' numbers. They respect you. You can call them and recruit quietly. But don't announce it to the world. There's no upside at all, and there's plenty of downside to that.
Chris Broussard, great seeing you, bud. Great seeing you.
Great to be on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Listen, Nick Saban's one of the smartest coaches in football, NFL or college. He's very calculated. Nick just doesn't talk to talk. We joke about this, Joy, all the time. He comes about four times a year, three times. He comes to a press conference, and he's going to talk about something. And he'll just figure out a way to talk about it at the press conference, even if you don't ask a question about it. So this is something he's talking about now, and this has become a real thing for Nick over the last 3 to 4 months. He was barking at people at the Senior Bowl about players leaving early, and this weekend, wrapping up spring practice, he went into Saban-calculated mode.
Now we have guys that have no draft grades, seventh-round grades, free agent grades, fifth-round grades that are going out for the draft. And, you know, the person that loses in that is the player. Your third-round draft pick, and we had one here last year, I'm not mentioning any names, goes and starts for his team, so he's making third-round money, which is not that great. Be the first guy taken in his position this year probably and make $15, $18 million more. So the agent makes out, the club makes out. Now they got a guy that's going to play for that kind of money for three more years.
The player, by the way, didn't like Nick saying that, but Nick is right. But Nick just didn't make this up, didn't just rant. Nick had this thought out. Here's a little story behind the story. The XFL starts in a year. The XFL does not have an age requirement. You can go after 1 year at Alabama and play for that pro league, second year, third year. Nick's already losing 5-6 guys a year, every year early. Nick is well aware that he is entering a cultural tsunami that college basketball coaches, Mike Krzyzewski and John Calipari, deal with. Nick's not going to be able to keep his guys because Nick has more guys ready to play in the NFL. Georgia will face a little bit of this. I've been told this by NFL people. The SEC is going to get ravaged because it's got the most NFL bodies by the XFL. And in fact, Clemson's got a terrific wide receiver named Justin Ross. And he came out and he said, listen, if the XFL is offering that kind of money, paychecks, he goes, 18, 19-year-old guys, we're going to take the money. You go, that's going to be hard for an 18, 19-year-old kid to turn down. By the way, Pac-12 doesn't have any freshmen good enough to go to the NFL or sophomores. They don't have many juniors good enough to go. Alabama's got a bunch. This is Nick Saban getting ahead of this, creating a narrative, warning the players, don't get used. You can make a lot more money. And he's not wrong. You can make a lot more money staying in Alabama. And let me tell you something. Nick's been on this for, my sources tell me Nick's been on this for like 3 months because he's heard once XFL came out and the stories about the XFLs, they'll take freshmen out of college. They'll take sophomores out of college. Nick's going to be losing 12 kids a year, half his recruiting class. So he's getting ahead of this and creating a narrative. He's not that worried about guys not being rich enough. He's worried about the future of his program.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, we do it every Monday at this time. Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I told you for years, do not buy these claims by Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. They're buddies and they get along great. And I said, that's not what the people I know are telling me. That's not what my intel is. My intel is they barely tolerate each other. And this article this past week by Tyler Dunn at Bleacher Report, which was a tremendous article, worked on it for apparently over a month, exposed Aaron as really petty, like disappointing for as smart a guy as he is. And McCarthy had his issues. Listen, fans, you can believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want, but Aaron Rodgers used to mock the media and roll his eyes if we suggested that, you know, we're hearing a lot of things about you and McCarthy that aren't great. They were all exposed. I was completely validated this week, which is not why I'm in this business. But Packer fans, put the pom-poms down. You're grown men. Put them down for a second and acknowledge your golden child has his flaws. He's ridiculously petty. And I think in the end, that separates him from Brady, not the talent.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, Duke and Michigan are not playing tonight. My two favorites to meet. In fact, I'm still shocked. Michigan got blown out. In fact, only one of the six teams I predicted had a chance to be in the Final Four. Only one made it, Virginia. There were very few upsets early. It was a very unique tournament. There was almost no upsets in the first couple days. And then at the end, the big dogs, a couple of them, like Carolina, got whacked and Michigan got whacked. And Virginia slid in to the national championship. Listen, this is the talent drain happening in college basketball. The big boys, the Calipari's and the Kansas and the Dukes, those one and dones, they're great players, but they're young. And when you go to this tournament, something that I've noticed in recent years, experience matters. It's nice to have a couple juniors in your team. Texas Tech's got a bunch of upperclassmen. It really matters.
Where Colin was right?
Well, look at this. According to Bleacher Report's Matt Miller, Arizona Cardinals have not only received two trade offers for Josh Rosen, but as we predicted, as we told you, they want to save face in the deal. This is what I've been told and what we've told you is happening. Teams are offering them a second round pick, but Steve Keim's the general manager, and he moved up last year to get Josh Rosen. And when a general manager moves up to get a player in a previous year, he does not want to settle for lesser picks the following year. If Arizona had a new GM, and I'm not encouraging anything, the guy would make the deal in a second. Josh Rosen's absolutely getting a second round pick for Josh Rosen is a fair offer. And that's about right now what he's worth. By the way, Randy Moss went to the Patriots. I think they only gave up a fourth. So, I mean, Josh Rosen is worth about a second round pick. And Matt Miller is telling you what we've been telling you for the last week.
Where Colin was wrong.
Okay, I find this next story absolutely bonkers. I think it's a horrific move. I think Golden State's basketball heaven. The head coach and the GM are likable guys that are former players. Kevin Durant would surrender tens of millions of dollars to leave Golden State, but Rick Bucher said this last week on our show about KD and the Warriors.
From everything I've heard, it's done.
He's leaving.
Yes, he's leaving. It's not a matter of not liking or appreciating what he has. But being there, I can tell you that Kevin Durant has never been fully embraced by the Warriors faithful. It's still Steph's team. It's still Steph, Klay, Draymond, KD, thanks for coming along and helping us win these last two. It's a matter of where can I go and I can show I can get this done. Like, I can be the centerpiece. Where am I going to be unbelievably appreciated?
Oh, Lord, that feels needy. but I mean, I trust Bucher. I trust these sources. I think it's nuts. I don't think there's a better place in the world. I think he's going to hoist another trophy this year. He's going to be the MVP again this year. And next year he could do it for a four straight time, which really, then you're going to get arguments that he's better than LeBron, which maybe he's not, but you're certainly going to get arguments. I don't see the answer to his validation leaving. I see it staying. I don't get it. I, as his agent, I'd say you're out of your gourd. You can make a fortune in Golden State more, but the tea leaves are telling you he's leaving. Holy Lord.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Mike Trout, 12-year deal with the Angels. And they're already four games out of first, and they're in last place. And by the way, he's first in everything in baseball. He's putting on a clinic. He's hitting .393, five jacks, best player in baseball. But one of the reasons I think these 12- and 13-year contracts are awful is because he's invisible. I mean, he's the second most popular team in Southern California. By the way, the Dodgers passed on Bryce Harper a long deal, passed on Manny Machado. And the Dodgers are setting offensive records, rotating guys, paying one baseball player $350 million. I don't care if it's Mike Trout. It's bad business. You're not going to be able to sign setup men. You're not going to be able to have an elite shortstop and second baseman up the middle. You're not going to be able to have elite players hit in front of him or behind him. Trout's amazing. But I said before, if I'm Mike Trout, you know, all right. Congrats. Who wants to play for 13 years in last place looking up at everybody? And again, I'm not denying Mike's great, and I understand the money, but the Dodgers passed on these long deals, and the Dodgers are smoking it. Their analytic people are like, nah, we're not interested. I think these long-term deals make the players rich. I don't think it makes the teams richer. I don't think it makes the teams more nimble and viable. And the Angels and Trout are setting records, but I mean, where's the team? Last place. And never going to be able to surround him with the kind of players that he deserves to be surrounded by.
Where Colin was wrong.
The AAF, the American Alliance of Football, folded before the first year ended. I always thought it would get gobbled up by the XFL eventually, but I did think it would last a year. I was told last night in Vegas, around a bunch of football people, they were out of money by week two. So there was a lot of half-truth and salesmanship in the kind of financing they actually had. Now, I think the XFL is going to work. It's got Vince McMahon. I can't talk about everything about it until May. It's got very good TV deals. XFL is going to have no age barriers, so they're going to have a larger pool of players. There is clearly an appetite for spring football. CBS, by the way, which had the AAF, they ordered more games. But this league tried to be a developmental league, and they should have just tried to get players and play games. They didn't have the money to develop anything. Just get players, play games, survive for 2 years, then you can become a developmental league. But they were spending way too much money on developing stuff instead of just putting a product on TV and being entertaining, so they folded.
Where Colin was right.
Big Ben's canceling his Monday radio show in Pittsburgh. This is what I've predicted. Watch Big Ben, with all the noise this year, come into camp in his best shape and is most focused. He's been doing this radio show forever on Mondays. But once or twice a year, he'll step on it and say something that doesn't play well because he's Big Ben. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to get off it. Criticism is a great motivator for guys. And I said this all during the noise. I said, the team's going to choose Big Ben over receivers and backs, and watch him react with this hyper uber focus. And he has announced he's going to get off his Monday show, which is not only a real thing, but it's symbolic. I'm all in on football. Say it again. I don't play fantasy football. If I did, I'd draft Ben next year.
Where Colin was right.
Chris Paul, fifth straight year. If he doesn't play tomorrow, his games played will go down again for the fifth straight year. Listen, I like Chris. I've been a Chris Paul fan forever. But when they sign him to a $160 million four-year extension, I said, hard pass. Next 3 years, they owe him over 40. Chris plays hard. Chris doesn't take possessions off. He is a grinder, and his body is wearing down. And this year it was hamstrings. He missed the two biggest games last year of the year against the Warriors in the playoffs. And again, if he misses one of the last games, it'll be the fifth straight year his number of games being played is going down. And I like him, and I'm a Chris Paul guy. But when players get hurt, especially intense guys, they don't get healthier as they get older.
where Colin was wrong.
According to Brian Windhorst, LeBron's struggling to get players not to just play with him, to go in the movie Space Jam 2, to pretend to play basketball with him. I think in 1 year, LeBron's become more toxic than he and his people realize. He's become heavy. A lot of great players, Derek Jeter, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, were great. They weren't heavy. LeBron's become heavy. This Lakers season has really changed the way I actually view LeBron. From a wee guy to more of a me guy. He doesn't want to sit down for tough interview questions. He wants people that are going to fluff it up and, you know, he can direct traffic on everything. LeBron needs to sit down, get asked hard, intense questions about how he's changed and answer them. And I always thought LeBron was the best recruiter in the NBA. But once Paul passed on him, Kawhi's not interested. Either's KD or Clay. And now the Space Jam story came out. There's a tipping point here in the last 6 months, and I didn't see it coming a year ago.
Where Colin was right.
Virginia Texas Tech played tonight, the lowest over-under in 20 years. I always say, if you want big ratings, big brands, big names, Duke, Michigan, you know, Carolina, this thing's going to be a ratings disaster tonight. There's very little buzz. It'll be low scoring. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 52-51. Not a lot of highly skilled players. A couple low-end NBA guys here. I got nothing against it. I'll watch it. I'll be, you know, I'm a sportscaster. That's what I do. I'll watch it. But for all of you rooting for the underdog, you always tell me, oh, I love the underdog. Underdog's where it's at. Really? Underdog's where it's at. Watch the ratings tomorrow for this. There's no buzz for it.
Where Colin was right.
The Warriors bored for the regular season again. Oh, what do you know? Last night, played a playoff team to secure the number one seed. Beat the playoff team 131-104. Had a 42-point third quarter. They've won five straight, 7 of 8. All the drama with Kevin Durant disappeared as predicted. Stars voice their opinion in the regular season. Stars get quiet. Head down, off social media, concentrate. Late in the regular season and in the playoffs and all the drama with the Warriors, it has completely disappeared and they're totally dialed in and beat the Clippers by 25 last night. A really good team. Warriors are back, baby.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
People hand out awards all the time. I've told you this before. The NBA awards are kind of ridiculous. Like, they're not defined. Like, the MVP to me has always been like, well, what does that mean? Is it the best player? If it's just that, call it that. Is it the most valuable player? Westbrook won because he had triple doubles, but they couldn't get out of the first round. How valuable does it make? It makes him talented, but how valuable's a triple double? LeBron has them all the time, and teams lose. So I thought, let's create easily definable, wrap your arms around it, no confusion awards that virtually nobody could argue. Are we ready to go? The Herd's NBA regular season awards. Let's start with this. The Best Player Award. Here's the current best player in the NBA. The winner is Kevin Durant. Okay, this was LeBron's award for about 12 years. I think he's the best player. He's now the best offensive player on any given night in the league. He and James Harden. He's a better defensive player than LeBron. I think he's had a very good year health-wise. There's been a little bit of this, you know, he a little snippy here and there. But in the end, who in the NBA, game 7 of a finals, who do you want to take the final shot? That, to me, is the best player in the NBA, and Kevin Durant wins our Best Player in the NBA award. Now, NBA has a Most Improved Player. We're offering a Least Improved Player, Ben Simmons. You can't even argue it. There's so much I love about his game. 6'10.5", great ball handler, strong, finishes at the rim, plays defense. Incredible vision. He cannot shoot. He's shooting 21%. Outside of 10 feet. Okay, you can't. God gave you all these gifts, and I'm not overly religious. But when the man upstairs gives you gifts, you have a certain responsibility to yourself to work on them. Less dating famous people, work on your jumper. I mean, this is ridiculous. He's got a in 2019, you got to be able to shoot or you become a guy late in games. Nobody has to guard. You can argue who's gotten better. Nobody has the talent that's just sat on it for an offseason like Ben Simmons. How about most overrated player? Yeah, I said it. Kawhi Leonard. Doesn't make teammates better, doesn't pass, doesn't communicate. Toronto's 17-5 when he doesn't play. They're statistically better when he doesn't play. He's missed 22 games and hasn't really had a major injury. I think he's a very, very good basketball player. But don't be putting him in the Kevin Durant class. Don't be putting him in the Steph Curry, Giannis class. He doesn't really communicate. If you want a franchise player, he's a very odd personality. And I understand a lot of it. He's been overlooked. But you can't miss 22 games. You can't, like, disappear last year from San Antonio. At some point, there's questions that have to be asked, and I'm asking them. I think he's good, but I think we've anointed him to a level he just doesn't reach if you're considering everything. Teammate, communicator, passer, healthy, ready to play, easy to figure out in your own locker room. Kawhi Leonard, most overrated player. The best losers this year are the New York Knicks. Listen, the Philadelphia 76ers tanked for 5 years. They still haven't won Bupkis. The Knicks are tanking 1 year to get Zion. It's brilliant. I mean, you got to give the New York Knicks credit. They don't win much, but they know how to tank. They're going to have as good of odds as anybody to get Zion Williamson. And they didn't have to tank for 6 years to do it. Now, they haven't been very good, but they've been actively trying to win. And they brokered a deal. They cleared up cap space. They can take two max players and get the number one pick. That's how you do it. If you're going to tank, tank briefly.
Yeah, do it properly.
And they've been the best losers in the NBA. How about the worst winners? The Lakers. Why are you suddenly hot? We wanted you to win all year. You couldn't. Now you've won 6 of 9. Last week, you beat 2 playoff teams. What are you doing, Alex Caruso? Start being Alex Caruso. What the hell happened? Lakers, here's how it works. If you're bad, you want to lose in the last 3 weeks. That's what you want to do to increase your chances in the ping pong lottery. The Lakers are finally hot at the exact time you don't want to, as a bad team, be hot. NBA hands out Executive of the Year. We're handing out Co-Executives of the Year, Dell Demps and Magic Johnson. As my wife says, there are two ways to lead, by being a great example or a horrible warning. They're both effective. These guys wrote a How Not to Make a Trade guide. Dell Demps got petty, held a grudge, and blew up his own career. And Magic Johnson and his staff leaked everything to the papers, blowing up his team's chemistry. Don't talk to the press. Don't sneak things to the internet. And certainly, Dell Demps, don't get petty. The Lakers offered everything shy of the logo, and he was not interested for Anthony Davis, who's a great player but hasn't shown the ability to carry a franchise. That was the biggest non-trade trade in league history, and for that, giving everybody an example of how not to make a deal, they win the Co-Executive of the Year. All right, time for the Sixth Man of the Year. The NBA hands that out. We're giving ours to Kyrie Irving. Now, I know that feels strange because he starts, right? But they're 11-3 when he doesn't play. So he's about the sixth most important Celtic, and God knows I have no idea how that's even possible. How can somebody as good as Kyrie Irving stunt the Celtics' offense? But he does. They're significantly better from the efficiency standpoint and the winning standpoint when he doesn't play. So for being about the sixth most important Celtic in value, he wins our Sixth Man of the Year. The NBA hands out a Defensive Player of the Year. We're handing out one too, Kevin Durant. He's defensive about everything. And he locked up the award with this.
Talk for a while.
Why do you care?
Because you usually talk.
I feel like talking the last couple of days.
Has anything to do with conversation about free agency?
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man.
You're talking to the media.
So? Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
How are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
He gets very defensive. So we think
defensive, not defensive.
Well, you know, we think he's the defensive player of the year because
he's the defensive player of the year.
He gets defensive about everything. And finally, the NBA has a comeback player of the year. We're handing out a please don't comeback player of the year to Carmelo Anthony. Atlanta, Houston, Chicago. Rockets basically paid him to stay away. Listen, it's over. He's going to make the Hall of Fame. He scored a bunch of points. He was an offensively gifted player. But come on, man. He's not a chemistry guy. He doesn't work. Please don't come back. You had your career. It drove me crazy. You drove me nuts. I was never into it. You have a good business mind. He's pretty good on the business side. And he was a great offensive player. But all these teams trying to engineer a new Carmelo. Maybe he can come off the bench. Maybe he can give us he refuses to shoot a three. He's not in great shape. He doesn't want to play defense. He doesn't want to come off the bench. He won't want to be part of a system. Please don't come back.